Turn in your copy of God's Word to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 5 through 18. When you get to Hebrews chapter 2, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read verses 5 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in the subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given to me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Father, we ask now that you would open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to understand. Cause us to know you more. Cause us to love you better. Cause us to see the glory and honor that you have made us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Every year, leading up to this day, our conversations in our staff meeting the week before have a similar sound to them. Every year, leading up to Mother's Day, we have this conversation. How much will we make of Mother's Day in the worship service? If we don't talk about Mother's Day, we're in big trouble. If we make too much of Mother's Day, we exacerbate the pain of those who long to be moms, or frustrate those who don't wish to be identified by whether or not they have children. How much do we make of Mother's Day? Well, in our passage this morning, we see that all of us, every single one of us here, have been made for glory and for honor. Listen again to this quote from Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is not typically heralded as a messianic psalm, was not held by the Jews to be a psalm prophesying the Messiah. It was simply about us as humans. And Psalm 8 says this, verse 6, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. He says, you have crowned him with glory and honor, making him just a little lower than the angels. This is not a diminutive phrase. This is not a phrase of us being lesser than angels. This is a psalm of our glory and our honor. We have been made only lower than the angels. God has made us to rule creation. God has made us to be crowned with glory and honor. God has made us to stand in His place, representing God, revealing God, ruling on behalf of God, so that when people look at us, they see Almighty God. All of us have been made for glory and for honor. And verse 8, putting everything in subjection under His feet. We were made to rule on God's behalf, made to care for His creation, made to stand in His place, made to represent God to those around us. All of us have been made for glory and for honor. So if you're a mom today, and your children rise up and call you blessed, and they say, "Mom, I am so thankful for all that you have done for me, all the ways that you have loved me, all the ways you have sacrificed for me. I am who I am because of what you have done for me." You moms get to taste this glory and honor for which you were made. And if you're not a mom, when you're at work or at school and the people around you lift you up, tell you what you mean to them, promote you, give you raises, give time to celebrate you, you taste this desire God has given us for honor and for glory. We were made to be honored. We were made for glory. We were made to desire it. It is good when God creates and He steps back from creation. He says, "Look at what I've made." And it's good when we do that, when we make, when we do a good job, when we create, when we perform, and we step back and say, "Look at what I have done." We were made to do that, and it is good. But sin has damaged that. Sin has corrupted that. Sin has polluted that desire for honor and glory. And because of that, we live in fear of death. Death is what our sin deserves. Our rebellion against God deserves suffering and death. Now look at verse 15. He is to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. What does this mean, who through fear of death? What is this fear of death? I believe that all our anxieties, our fears, our sufferings, our angers, our doubts are this fear of death manifest in our life. So you don't have children this morning. As a woman, the fear of death is made manifest when you feel shame on Mother's Day, when you feel anger and resentment because you don't have children. That is the fear of death being made manifest in you. When you have children, and we come to Mother's Day and we hear these great sermons on Proverbs chapter 31, "Oh, the excellent woman of God," and you feel this shame at how you have failed as a mom. That resentment, that fear, that shame is the fear of death that we are tasting because of the corruption of our desire for honor and for glory. Men, when we steal and covet and kill and dominate and abuse and withdraw, all because of our distorted desire for honor, this is the fear of death made manifest in us. And it enslaves us. It takes us captive. It binds us up. So as a man, when I'm not respected, I dominate and control to try to make people respect me. It enslaves. As a man, when I'm not respected and I can't get respect by controlling, by fighting, by manipulating, then I withdraw and hide and just give up completely. It enslaves us. When we strive for honor, we're trying harder and we lash out, we manipulate, we control, or when our desires for honor are failed, we withdraw, we self-medicate, we hide, and we suffer. The slavery of the fear of death. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus became like us. Jesus became like us to restore us to honor and to glory. Hebrews chapter 2 shows us that first Jesus was made like us. Remember, Psalm 8, not originally a messianic psalm, not a psalm looking forward to the coming Messiah, not a psalm about Jesus. It's a psalm about us, that we were made for glory and for honor, but sin has destroyed that, distorted that, destroyed it, crushed it, marred it. And so Jesus comes as the perfect image of God standing in our place. Verse 9, we see Psalm 8 applied to Jesus, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, and he names him, namely, Jesus. This is incredible. If you see verse 10, it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist. Remember, it is by Jesus Christ that all things were made. Jesus Christ, creator of the universe, the one who we saw in chapter 1, upholds the world by the word of his power. This Jesus, the creator of the universe, has become a little lower than the angels. This is mind-blowing. The creator of the universe subjects himself, makes himself lower than the angels. Beneath his own creation, empties himself, makes himself like us. We see that, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, we are flesh and blood, so Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things. Jesus Christ becomes flesh like us. So chapter 1 we saw is all about Jesus Christ, fully God, exalted as holy God. And now also we see he is fully man, fully human, taking on flesh. Verse 17, made like us in every respect. Jesus Christ, made fully human, made fully man. Verse 16, to save us. You see, it was not for angels that he helps, but descendants of Abraham. Angels who rebel against God and become what we call demons, these sources of evil in the world. He doesn't save them. He doesn't become angelic beings. He doesn't become creatures. He doesn't become animals. He becomes flesh to save us, to save humanity. This itself is a restoration of our glory, that the God of the universe takes on flesh and restores our glory. Even more than that, because he's made flesh, he can help us. Verse 18, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Because Jesus Christ knows the suffering of temptation, he can help us when we're tempted. Jesus, his last night of freedom on earth, knows what's coming. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be beaten, hung on a cross, and die. And as he gets ready for that day, he gets his closest friends, and he goes to his favorite place, and he prays, because he does not want to die. Fully flesh, fully man, a human will. He doesn't want to suffer. And he cries out in his anxiety to God. He cries out to his friends, will you watch and pray with me? And he comes back and they all fall asleep. Jesus knows what it is to be rejected and left alone. Where are you tempted this morning? Where do you feel rejected? Rejected because you're not a mom and you don't have children. Rejected by your own mom. Maybe by your kids. Rejected because you stay at home with your kids instead of having a career. Or maybe rejected because you have a career and you don't stay at home with your mom. Where is it this morning that you are feeling rejected? Men, where are you tempted? Where are you suffering even today the pains of rejection? Jesus knows the suffering of temptation. And is able to help us, to draw us to him, to cling to him, to hold on to him, to know that we're not alone, to know that we're not rejected, that there is somebody else who has suffered like us. He can help us because he was made like you, lower than the angels, suffering temptation. But even more than Jesus being made like us, the author of Hebrews says he suffers for us. Verse 10, we see clearly that he suffers. It was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should be made the founder of their salvation, perfect through suffering. This word perfect here means the end, the goal, the finished work. The finished work of our salvation is Jesus Christ suffering on our behalf because our sin, our rebellion against God, deserves suffering. This is the fear of death that we live with, this constant anxiety, this suffering, these pains that we endure in this life. Part of our salvation requires suffering, the penalty of sin. So that God tells Adam and Eve after they rebel in the garden, you'll work the ground and it will be painful. You will have pains in childbearing. Sin brings suffering. And so Jesus suffers. More than that, he suffers specifically death. Verse 9. We see him who for a little while made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. The penalty of our sins is death, suffering and death, and he dies in our place. Verse 14, not only conquering death, but the one who holds the power of death. He himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil, the one who holds darkness, the one who holds death itself. Jesus Christ has conquered by dying on our behalf, defeating the ruler of darkness. And so, verse 10, it is made fitting that he should be made the founder of their salvation. This word founder means the pioneer, the one who blazes the way, the one who goes forward and makes salvation possible for us because he goes before us. So Jesus suffers. Jesus suffers death. He suffers death for us. Verse 9, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Death is not the end. Death is not the end because Jesus Christ tasted death on our behalf. Verse 15, he not only sets us free from death, but from the fear of death, delivers all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He sets us free from the fear of death, from the effects of our sin, from the slavery that binds us up because we live in sin. You can be liberated from your shame. You can be liberated from your fear. You can be set free from these anxieties that plague your soul. Whatever holds your soul captive, Jesus has conquered death and sets us free from the fear of death. He is the propitiation for our sins. Verse 17, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so he might become a merciful, faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. This is intentional priestly language of the priest who offers a sacrifice to bring reconciliation with God, who offers the sacrifice to make the way back to God. Jesus Christ reconciles us to God by offering himself. Do you hear this? This is incredible that the God of the universe becomes flesh to offer a sacrifice to satisfy himself so that we might have peace with God. This is our amazing salvation, God himself in our place, that we might have deliverance, that we might have freedom, that we might be reconciled, and ultimately, that we might be restored to glory. Jesus is made like us. Jesus suffers for us. Jesus is exalted with us. Look again at verse 9. As application of Psalm 8 to Jesus, we see him who for a little while made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor. Turn a few pages in your Bible to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, we see over and over throughout Scripture, Jesus Christ, because of his suffering, because of his suffering for us, because of his suffering of death for us, is exalted and given glory. Revelation chapter 5, here the living creatures and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. And they cry out in this new song, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Philippians chapter 2 says that because Jesus emptied himself, became flesh, became obedient even to death on a cross, therefore, it says, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses Jesus Christ is glorified and honored because he becomes like us and suffers for us. So verse 10 calls him the founder of our salvation. This word, this pioneer, is a word of honor. He is first. But the crazy thing here is not that Jesus is exalted, but that we are exalted with him. He is made like us, the perfect human, the perfect image of God, to restore us to that glory lost by our rebellion against God. Because he suffered for us, he restores to us that glory and honor for which we were created. Sin had distorted it, damaged it, destroyed it. Christ restores it. Look again at verse 11. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. Those who are made holy, this word sanctified simply means set apart for honor, set apart for glory, set apart for God. Those who are sanctified and the one who is sanctified have the same source. We are one with Christ, part with him, sanctified with him, sanctified by him, exalted with him. And you see what the rest of verse 11 says. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Shame is the opposite of glory. Shame is the opposite of honor. Shame is this feeling of all my secrets exposed and people pointing and laughing and mocking and ashamed of us. I don't want to have anything to do with them. This utter rejection because of what they've done or what's been done to them. It is the opposite of honor and glory when we lift somebody up and say, you belong, you matter, you've had impact, thank you. That is honor and glory. Shame is this rejection and this mocking. And verse 11 says, Jesus Christ is not ashamed of us. We belong. We matter. We are honored. In fourth grade, I was abused by a classmate. For years, I believe I was not worthy of honor. For years, I struggled to believe I was worthy of being loved. For years, I was afraid if anybody knew this about me, they would reject me. They would be ashamed of me. They wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. But Jesus Christ was made like me. Jesus Christ suffered shame for me, and he is not ashamed of me. What happened to you? What did you do? What's been done to you? The glorious news of the gospel is Jesus was made like you. Jesus suffered for you, and he is not ashamed of you. Good news of the gospel. My glory has been restored, and he is restoring my glory. Whether you're a mom today or not, you were made for glory and for honor. Sin has distorted that. Sin has marred it. Sin has damaged it. It's been taken from you. But Jesus Christ was made flesh, made like you. Knows the suffering. Jesus Christ suffered for you, died for you, and Jesus Christ is exalted with you. He is not ashamed of me. Will you say that with me? He is not ashamed of me. Do you believe that? Can you receive it? Say it again. He is not ashamed of me. God is restoring your glory. restored it through Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come to you with our shame, naked and exposed. And we confess that you see everything that's been done to us. We confess that you see everything that we've done. And we believe that Jesus was made like us. That Jesus suffered and died for us. That Jesus is exalted with us. And you are not ashamed of us. Father, some here have never heard those words. Some here have never believed them. We believe instead that you're disappointed, that you're ashamed, that you would never, like you did your servant Job, go to the enemy and say, "Have you considered my servant Chris?" There's no way you'd say that about us. And yet your word says, in Christ you are not ashamed. God, make that real in our hearts. Help us to receive that. That you are not ashamed of me. Help us to live from that strength. Because it changes how I love. It changes what I'm willing to risk. It changes how I interact with those around me. It changes how I am willing to honor those around me when I believe that you have already honored me. Thank you for restoring our glory. Oh God, restore it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we are...